Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That thing catch me every time. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, along with our co-host, Brother Satawi Jahi. And we have quite a few, I call them panelists, editors of the National Concerned Citizens that is involved in Zoom. And also we are Facebook Live right now. And, of course, we are on Blog Talk Radio. And so we want to welcome everybody in all the different formats that we're on. And before we get started, as always, we would like to bring in our brother, our co-host, Satawi Jahi. Satawi Jahi, who has something positive to say. Brother Satawi, you got it, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David. And nice topic. Again, we do Daily Motivations for African-American Success, book written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. And the nice topic is Hold On to Your Faith. Mountain, get out of my way. Montel Williams, talk show host. Faith is the prerequisite to power. It gives you perspective and confidence to forge ahead. Faith lets you see the invisible, believe the incredible, and receive the impossible. Let me repeat that again. Faith lets you see the invisible, believe the incredible, and receive the impossible. Great men and women have never found the easy road to triumph. It's always the same, old route, by way of hard work and plenty of faith. The drought of the past winter threatened a crop in a village in southern Africa. A farmer told the villagers, "There isn't anything that will save us except a special prayer for rain. Go to your homes, fast during the week, believe, and do not be discouraged. Rain will come." The villagers heard him, fasted during the week, and visited his farm on Sunday morning for more prayer. But as soon as the farmer saw them, he was furious. "Go away," he said. "I will not pray with you. You do not believe." "But sir," they protested, "we fasted and we believed." "Believe," he retorted, "then where are your umbrellas? It's not what we eat, but what we digest that makes us strong. It's not what we gain, but what we give that makes us rich. It's not what we read, but what we practice that makes us wise. It's not what we know, but what we believe that makes us successful." Faith helps us taste the music, preaches Bill Gray, executive director of the United Negro College Fund. "Even when we don't like the tune, I will keep the faith." Adam Clayton Powell used to have a saying, who closed the speeches out with, "Keep the faith, baby." So I say to everybody out here listening, keep the faith. And if you want to call in on the Blog Talk line, call the number is 515-602-9701. I'll repeat that, 515-602-9701. That's the call-in number for the blog, for the portion of the Blog Talk simulcast. So hopefully someone will call in from this out there listening to the Blog Talk line, and we'll pipe you in so that you can get your questions answered and participate in the dialogue tonight, since you're not on the Zoom link. Okay, David, back to you, sir.
Yes, sir, I appreciate that, sir. As always, you know, good information. And, again, I just want to welcome all of those, again, on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, and those who are present with us on the Zoom call. The reason why I meet
you
guys
muted.
Up because
you
a lot
mute or unmute yourself by pressing star
noise.
6.
And so, when you know, we ask you to speak, you can unmute yourselves, and that way we can hear whoever's speaking, you know, very clearly. And, but, you know, tonight, before we get started in our conversation, I just want to, like I say, thank everybody for their participation. And it's been a trying week for a lot of us. As we were discussing a little earlier, a lot of our family members are going through a lot of personal, physical, and a lot of other situations. So, you know, we need to lift each other up in prayer, you know, because I do believe prayer is powerful. And another thing, just not us, you know, people all over this world is going through so many different things. But as I recall in my lifetime, you know, trouble is always with us. Trying time is not happening to us. It's all usually happening to somebody around, somebody we care about. But God is able, God is in control, you know, and we must press forward. And pressing forward is the national Black Unity News, which this broadcast is brought to you by, is a nationwide circulated newspaper. This is a unique paper, and like I say, it's by divine inspiration. And there's no, it's, you know, no shame in my game about that, because you know a lot of people try to give me credit for it, but no, is that the real thing, to keeping it real, is by divine inspiration, and you. Because I truly believe that everybody who participates in this publication are sent by divine inspiration. Because everybody, I get to know who's on here, who gets to be involved with the paper. And this I do know, you have the heart to give, the heart to share. And that's exactly what we do. We go around this country and beyond sharing good information for us and by us. We also give people an opportunity to not only educate people about who you are, what you do, and why you do the things that you do. This is so unique because nobody has your journey. You know, nobody's been on the road that you've been on. Maybe similar roads, but not the same one. And only you can disseminate information that can reach the world that's coming just by, from you to them. And so don't take yourself slightly. Because you are powerful individuals, and we have a powerful tool. This publication, the National Black Unity News, which is part of media, is a powerful, powerful force, and it's no joke. And because it is powerful, and we involved, that makes us just as powerful. But in any case, tonight I want to bring on I consider him a friend, a associate, an educator. And a real concerned brother. This brother's involved with so many different things. He's heavily into media. His forte is books. He's an author, and he helps other people become authors. He promotes people who are authors, and he uses one of his tools at the National Black Unity National Black Unity News. We have a page in there called the Authors Showcase, and it is this brother who bring those magnitudes of books to us each issue. And since the inception of this idea of us working together, we had highlighted hundreds of books. And spotlighted, not only do you get your book spotlighted, but you get to do an interview with them. And speaking of interviews, this brother, I tell you, you know, if you know him, I don't know how he does it, but he do it. He holds so many different program podcasts and send out so much information. But, you know, I asked him to come on this week because, as we all know, all over this country, people are our children are going back to school. People are entering into college. And we just coming out, and I don't think we're really out of this pandemic. And just on the news that I was listening to, they were saying the mental state, not only of our students, the parents, and everything else, you know, it's at a high rate, extremely high rate now. And information can be one powerful tool, but the type of information can even be even more powerful. And this brother is very astute in a lot of literature. And I want to bring him in. You know, he can introduce himself, but at the same time, I just wanted to ask him, you know, to share a bit about who he is, why he does the things that he do, and how he best can help people, and why did he become an author, and why did he want to help other people? I know that's a lot I'm throwing at you, sir. You know me, I like to get it in and get it out and let you take the floor. And so, you know, you can speak about what you want, what's on your heart, what's on your mind. But first, I would really like for you to introduce yourself, because they need to know the essence of the man. Dr. Leroy McKenzie, welcome to the call, sir.
Good evening. Thank you, Brother David. I appreciate your kind words, and it's a pleasure, an honor, and just humbling to be a part of the National Black Unity News. I appreciate what you've done your family have done in putting this newspaper out there for us, because that's what it is. It's for us to be able to disseminate information. You said the key thing, information is power. You know, my mentor, he says, we don't have a wealth gap. We have an information gap. And when you get the information, when you're able to get that information to the people and they're able to implement that information that they gather and that they get and they utilize it and they use it as a tool, then you're able to close that wealth gap. So I'm glad to be a part of this aspect of being able to close that information gap, because that's what we do. We disseminate information for people to be able to make them better. So I appreciate doing that. My name is Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr., the Impact Builder, and simply what I do is try to make people better. And I try to make people better through entrepreneurship. I try to make people better through book publishing, which is what I do as well. And I do it in a from a branding, marketing perspective. And it's just about me being able to assist others to be able to get their information out, their mission, their message, their movement, their motivation, whatever that message is, to be able to put them in the position to be able to make people better. That's simply who I am, what I do, and why I do what I do, because I have a passion for people. I have a passion for my people. I love my people before anyone else. I dislike other people, but I love my people first. You know how when you're on an airplane, they tell you if the plane goes down to put the mask on yourself first, right? Well, that's what we have to do. We have to put the mask on ourselves first before anybody else on that plane. And this is our plane. Our community is our plane. And we have to put the mask on us first. You know, we have to do that each and every time. So that's why I do what I do, the passion that I have for me, and have the passion for my people. And I want us to learn. You know, it is. You said it exactly right. Knowledge is power. It's the one thing that people can't take from you once you've gained it. It can't be taken from you. Once you learned it, you've learned it. It doesn't go anywhere unless unless your health fails you, or you know something may happen to you. But when you've learned that knowledge, you know it's something that people can't take from you. And part of the way that we gain knowledge is through books. You know, I've always been an avid reader. and enjoyed reading. You know, when a lot of folks were outside and this, that, and the other, whatever, I was in a book. I had my head in a book, you know, just wanting to learn more, whether it was a book, whether it was a newspaper, whether it was whatever. I always remember my mother used to work for Social Security downtown, and I would have to meet her downtown sometimes. And right at the building, and when I would go down there and I would meet her at the building, they had the USA Today newspaper there, and I would get the newspaper, and this is a young boy. I'm talking about a young boy. I would grab the newspaper, and the first section that I would go to wasn't the sports section. It was the finance section. It was the money section, because I was always interested in how money worked. You know, so I would read. I would read the money section. I would read the finance section of the newspaper, because it's what prompted my interest. And so that I've always been, you know, one to want to read, whether it was a newspaper, whether it was a book and everything like that. So the National Black Union News gave me the opportunity to do both with books and news and a newspaper. So that was a perfect combination to me and it was a way for me to be able to pour back into our community.
Dr. McKenzie, I don't mean to interrupt you, but give me, how many books have you written?
I've written seven myself, and then I've been a part of three compilation books, so a total of 10 books that I've written in those three books, compilation books, but not a full book, but seven of my own.
Can you give me the titles of some of those books that you've written?
Sure. The first, my first two books that I wrote started off as books of poetry, because I'm a poet. I love poetry. I started writing poetry back when I was in college, and I was just doing it just to get stuff out of my head. You know, I wanted to be able to get stuff
and
out of my
young
head.
Tell the truth and impress the young lady. Go ahead, tell her
about that. Yeah, I ain't going to say that part of that, part of the poetry was part of that. You know,
yeah.
But it was me writing about my experiences. It was either the experiences that I had or people that I knew it had or what I was seeing. And so I wanted to write about it because it was impacted me. So my first two books were books of poetry, The Inner Soul. And then once I entered, once I was out of school, you know, and I showed it to some folks and stuff, and they were like, well, you should put this in a book. And so I was like, oh, okay, you know, and didn't think that I had enough to be able to write a book. But as I got more into it, as the more that I wrote, the more I found that I had to say. So I wound up creating those first two books of poetry. And then at that time, I was in corporate America. And I saw how dysfunctional corporate America was. And this was the late 90s going into the 2000s, which was where everybody was talking about, oh, the world's going to end, the Y2K, and everything was just going to happen. And I saw the lack of leadership. I just saw how companies were being run into the ground. And I was just like, well, what can I do that would be able to, you know, to be able to make a change and everything like that? So I created three business books out of that. The first one was The Customer's Not Always Right. Which is a success strategies for building a strong and successful business. And I just talk about people, businesses, how to create a healthy work environment, how to maximize your productivity, and then how to increase your bottom line. Because I saw that most of the companies that I was either working for or that I had to deal with and stuff like that, they weren't doing those three things. They had people that hated their jobs. They were just there to collect a paycheck. And really didn't want to be there, which as a consequence of that, people's productivity wasn't being maximized and wasn't being utilized. And I was one of those people. I was literally on a job that I hated to wake up and go to in the morning. So how productive do you think I could be in that mindset? I couldn't be productive at all just because of that. So I talked about those things and how companies – when they create those first two, how it will actually automatically increase the third one, your bottom line. So that was the first book. The second one was Young and Gifted, the Next Generation of Entrepreneurship. I took 21 entrepreneurs who were under the age of 40 and who were not in music, sports, or entertainment, and had a conversation with them, did a profile on them. And we talked about their backgrounds, their histories, how they became entrepreneurs, what made them want to become entrepreneurs, and then where they saw their particular industries. Because I wanted to highlight entrepreneurs who were doing great things, but you weren't going to readily hear about them just because they were the everyday entrepreneurs who assisted others in being able to put food on their table, but nobody talked about them. And then the third book in that series was The Art of Leadership, Success Strategies for the 21st Century Leader. And that was where I was talking about. I saw this lack of leadership in companies and businesses and how they were being run. And I wanted to talk about leadership in a broader sense. So I talked about the five pillars of the community, which are the family, government, education, business, and the church. And with those, any community is comprised of those five pillars. And I talked about leadership within those five pillars and what it means to be a leader. Because what I found was a lot of people, most of the leaders fit two or three. The first one was they were in a leadership position but weren't equipped to lead. The second one was they were in the leadership position just for the title. They just wanted the title. They wanted all of the money that came with that title and wanted to be able to do it. And then you had those who, the third part of that was those that wanted to legitimately be leaders and were looking to be able to take people and show people how to be able to lead into this 21st century that we're in now. So that was those three business books that I created because I wanted us to, from a business perspective to be better and then from a community perspective to be better. Then I wrote The Power of a Man, which I truly, truly, truly enjoyed writing because it was a book for men. And I tell you, it's for women too because they can learn a lot about men, hopefully, when they read this book. But it was The Power of a Man, Faith, Family, Finance, and Future. And that was talking to men about the power that we have as men, but talking about it from our faith, our family, our finance, and future. And when we walk in those, when we walk in our power in those positions, we take on what God has created us to be. And that's powerful, powerful men, powerful black men. You know, those were... and then the last book was another book of poetry that I wrote, Vibes and Sounds. And it was just me wanting to be able to get those poems out that I've written about, some more things that I'd seen, felt strongly about, and then just wanted to vibe with people on. Just like good music, I wanted to create a book that had that same kind of feel to it. So those are the ones that I wrote. And then there were the three other ones, like I said, that, you know, that I collaborated or were a part of the collaboration on.
Well, I'm going to say this to you, sir. You know, see, a lot of people, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of people, you know, they look at us on the surface sometimes. You know, that's all they can really see unless we share our stories.
Right.
And you know, it's now that people know who you are and what you have written about, they see that there's a lot to you. You know, you go pretty deep in a lot of different areas to even write a book on those subject matters. And so, you know, so like I say, when you see Dr. Leroy McKenzie, you know, this brother is a powerful young man who does some serious research. And but the main thing that he kept saying, because he wanted people to know, he wanted to share that information. See, this is a prime example of how the National Black Unity used to bring people like him on here to share our information. And speaking of authors, we have about right on here, probably about four or five authors on here already. I know we got Cheryl Ricks on here, Dr. Nala Ali, Dr. Pender, and a couple more people I think have written some books. And because you spoke of the men's situation, and we got a couple of young ladies wrote on some women issues and faith issues and stuff like that. You know how my mind works is, you know, there could be some great seminars and workshops, you know, pertaining to those issues, because it's much needed in our community, right? There's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of bad information, bad press, bad media that tearing people apart. And here God is assembled people like you, Dr. Ali, and the Cheryl Ricks, and the Dr. Penders, and so many of you out here that's doing some great and wonderful works. We got people on here right now who are doing documentaries. We got Brother Miles on here who's doing the thing on the Chick Webb community and the East Baltimore community. We got Rico Crowley on here who served the homeless. I mean, man, we got people in media and all sorts of things. But, you know, getting back to you, sir, and I know you have written these books, but why is it so important to share our own stories or write our books and, you know, tell our stories?
Tell authors or even aspiring authors when it comes to telling their personal stories. And what I've found is a lot of people think that they're the only ones to go through something. And so when you tell your story, you free someone else to live their story.
Mm.
And it shows them, wow, somebody else made it through what I'm going through or what they may go through, because there are people that may have yet to go through what you've written about. But because you've written your story, you've written this story, it gives them an understanding and at least some kind of way to understand how they might be able to get through it. And it shows them that other people have gotten through it. So they can't use the excuse, well, I'm the only one. And that's what I found. A lot of people, when they, you know, when they write their books and they're out there and they're talking about their story, they tell their story and they're sharing it, a lot of they'll get people to come up to them and say, I thought I was the only one. You know, I thought, you know, I didn't realize that there were other people out there like me that experienced this. So telling your story, it gives you the ability to be able to touch people in such a way that they, if you hadn't written your story, then who knows what might have happened to that person. And I always tell people too, who are you to keep that gift that God gave you, that story within you to yourself? Don't be selfish. Put that story out there and let it do what God has equipped it to do. Because all of us that know the word, study the word, it says that his word cannot return to him void. So once you put that word out there, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. It's going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish in whatever form that looks like, in whatever way that looks like, whether it's one person, whether it's a million people. It's going to accomplish what it is that it's supposed to accomplish. So that's why, to me, it's important for people to tell their story and to put it out there, because you never know who it's going to touch.
And guess what? You know, and like I said, words come in many different forms. And I know some of you may have ventured into some of these programs, especially ones like the NA program or the Alcoholics Anonymous and the Narcotics Anonymous program. And what they do, they share stories. And then the average person who's in the room listening to those stories can identify with those stories. And because they can identify, then they look at your success, how you made it through it. And that's how they're able to make it through it. Because they say, this guy telling the same story, you know, that I lived, you know, or very similar to it. And that's how they get up there. But not only that, you mentioned something else. See, this is how, like I say, God works sometimes. Now, we have a sister on here, Cheryl Ricks. She even helped people write a book, tell you the steps, to, you know, how to even get it. And then you got people who's already on here who have published their books. And they share their story, they, you know, at the areas of expertise. And you hit on something very, very powerful. Because it's really no excuse, you know, you people like myself say, you know, I got all these books up in me, but I never took the opportunity. But see, then I'm just telling y'all hang around this National Black Unity News and the people behind it. Because Sister Cheryl already said, David, when you read, I'm ready, because she's going to help me get the things situated. I already talked to Brother Leroy McKinney. He said, I can help you do this and help you get this and do this, you know. And so it's no excuse, you know, no excuse for that. And not only that, then we had the National Black Unity Team. Once your book is from, we can help put it out there for you. And so, like I say, words are powerful. They don't come back void. And you never know who you're going to help, because that's exactly what the National Black Unity newspaper does. It goes all over this world. And you never know who picks it up. We got a gentleman on here just joined us about a couple of weeks now, Mr. Neil Spencer from out in North Carolina. And he somehow got our name. And he wants to do things in the community down there. He wants to do a chamber of commerce or a network group or something, you know, with black businesses and services up at their communities. And then we had people on here that was more than willing to step up, to step in, to assist. We got a brother on here like Ronald Miles, man, doing things for the East Baltimore community, the Chick Webb community. If you knew the history of all that went into that Chick Webb Center, the people that, those who are my age who knew of these great entertainers from all over the country, renowned. I ain't talking, these ain't no lightweight. Can you imagine what it was like? And I even see some footage of his funeral services, you know, when they were going through the streets, man, how they lived. I mean, people, you don't even see this kind of stuff today, you know. That's how much this man was revered, you know. And so that's why I said, but see, they didn't teach us that in school. They didn't tell our story. And so those of you who's on Facebook, those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, and you have that thing within you that, you know, you get out. See, we have a Dr. YG. We got people who would edit. We got people who will show you step by step how to. So in other words, we don't have any more excuses. Pick up the phone and call. Brother McKinsey, while you on here, give us a little bit of how people get in touch with you.
Sure. They can connect with me through I'm on the social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. You can check out my YouTube channel, which I have a number of content on there. that will enlighten, empower, and impact you. You can go to my link tree, which is http://link, linktr.ee/JNF Enterprises, and that'll give you a list of all of the different pages. That way you can go to one place and then you can just go
Can you put it in the chat when you get a chance?
Yes. Yeah,
I
sure
appreciate
will.
That.
Sure
now, before we open up discussion to everybody else, and that, you know, because we got a lot of people got a lot of information they want to share. But we always often ask you this: if children are going back to school, and not just the children, but you know, the parents got to get them there, you know, and then got people going into higher, you know, education. What would you recommend that they read?
Well, I mean, for the children, there's so many children's books that are out here by us, by Black authors that are out here to be able to assist parents in being able to, you know, be able to read with their kids or to give their kids to be able to read. So there's plenty of those. But for individuals, for us, the older ones, I mean, there are plenty of books that you can read. I'll give you an example. I'm reading two books at the same time. One, actually, I just finished reading. But I just finished reading Earl Graves, who was the creator and owner of Black Enterprise. But his book is entitled How to Succeed in Business While Not Being White. I think that's the last part of it. I can't remember what it is. But it was a great read. He gave, I mean, and this book was written back in, I think the mid-90s was when he came out with that book, but I hadn't read it. And I was like, it was at the library, so I wound up picking it up and reading it, just finished reading it. But I just finished reading this one. Oh, y'all can't see it through the, I got to take some things off, but called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, which is a really good book, and that's about making decisions, everyday decisions, to make you, that give you the ability to be able to be better every single day, making those little decisions that make you better every single day. And then the other book that I'm reading now is called The Peebles Principles. For y'all that aren't familiar with him, his name is R. Donahue Peebles. He is one of the richest Black men in America. Now, you won't know it because he keeps himself under the radar, but he is a developer. He's a developer, and I'm going to have to take my thing off so I can show you all the cover of the book, David. I hope you all mind me real quick because I want you to see the cover of the book. But I'm sorry, y'all. Okay. So hopefully you all can see me now.
Yeah.
But let me show you.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is his book called The People Principles. And this, he has another one, but they didn't have the other one in the library, but I got this one. But he gives his life story. Born in Washington, D.C. Grew up in Washington, D.C. Went to Howard University. But is one of he's virtually a billionaire, but you won't know it because he doesn't talk about his wealth. But he built his wealth through being a developer. And he has hotels, and he has other buildings. He's about to build the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere in New York. He's on, if you go to YouTube on the Breakfast Club and you put in his name, Donahoe Peebles, you'll see his interview on the Breakfast Club, and he talks about getting ready to build that building. But I'm reading his book with the principles and how he built his empire and being able to become the successful man that he is. So those are the kinds of books that I read. You know, the other people, and I read some some fictional books too, but my thing is always about development. It's always about entrepreneurship. Seeing those who have built the blueprint. And then, of course, I'm going through and flipping through. I think y'all may know who this gentleman is. Oops, got it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I hope y'all know who this gentleman is. If you don't, this is Mr. Reginald F. Lewis, who is the gentleman that brokered the first $1 billion deal because he was the mergers and acquisitions attorney, but brokered the first billion-dollar deal. And he's from Baltimore. His museum is right down here, right down on Baltimore, down downtown Baltimore, and went to Dunbar High School. So books like that that I recommend for people to read. But you want to read stuff that, that you're interested in. Whatever those things are that interest you, I'm sure you can find it in the book. You can find it in something to be able to read. And even if it's not a book per se, Brother David, I would recommend that you read something of interest. It could be a magazine article. It could be a newspaper. It could be the National Black Unity News. It has, and that's what I tell people, the National Black Unity News has stories that you're not going to readily see anywhere else. I promise you, you're not going to read about them, you're not going to hear about them anywhere else, and that's what makes us unique in what we do. Each of the editors do a fantastic job of bringing you bringing you stories and enlightening us on information that we might not readily have. And the thing that I'll say about books and the things that I'll say about the newspaper, they live forever. Being an author, writing a book, that book will outlive you. It'll outlive you. It'll be here long after you are gone. It'll be here for your children's 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 children. It'll still be here because you took the time to put your thoughts, your ideas into a book, and that lasts forever. So
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, Dr. McKinney, I think Mr. Murphy has, I don't know if he has a question for you, but anybody who has a question for Brother Dr. McKenzie, or just a suggestion or idea, you know, put your hands up. But, you know, again, you know, what you've been saying, sir, you know, it's so powerful because, like I say, if you don't tell your story, share your story. You know, even they can say, because you know, with the National Black Unity, those who are editors of it, they're already, you know, if you don't know, I say, your stuff go to the Library of Congress right there. And once our stuff is on the internet, and it goes viral, and it's out there forever. You know, it just floats around sometimes. People can pick it up here and there. And plus, you know, we have it documented and stuff like this. Your great-great-grandchildren can read the articles that you are writing today. And because of discrimination. Mr. Murphy, you will have a comment. Do you unmute yourself, sir? Or
I do have a comment, and I've unmuted myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Fantastic. First of all, hello, everyone. My name is Walter Eugene Dempsey Murphy, and I am the managing director for the National Black Unity News. And the reason that I raised my hand so early is because I got excited. Normally, you know, I may every now and then put my hands up for something, but in this case, we're talking about the wonderful Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr. Ladies and gentlemen, the only reason I'm on here is because I want to do an affirmation. And again, this is about not just the man, but the mission. One of the things that he said earlier was that he used to read at the USA Today. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, you will, some people used to go to the newspapers or whatever, you know, the different magazines and go straight to the comic section or the sports sections or whatever. He went to first to finance, and other people go to law and politics and this and the other. But one of the most important things is that you do have a preference of what you desire to read. And when you do that, what it makes you do is be stronger in your own understanding of what you're interested in. And so reading is one of the most wonderful ways of getting information that you need for you to better you. And so Dr. McKenzie is right on point when he talks about how, you know, he used to read a little bit of everything, you know, and you'd be surprised at what you get, you know, reading a magazine while you sit in a doctor's office or you know, you see something sitting around, pick it up, and you'd be surprised. But again, what he is saying is so prevalent to each and every one of you on here. And I am guilty. I stand here as guilty as all get out. I've got about 20 books in my system right now, this moment. I could, if put in the time, energy, and effort, and David and all of them kind of know that I've been promising a book for how long? 10, 15 years now, right? So at the end of the day, Dr. McKenzie and Dr. Barbara Ortiz, I've already talked to her about, you know, putting a book together, and this is not about me, it's about you. Your book is important. If you read mine, that'd be great. If you read Dr. McKenzie's, that's great. David wrote a book. If you read his book, you know, that would be great. But what about your story? What about what you know that the world could use to make your life and their life a little bit better? And so that's what I want to piggyback on, the idea of reading and having and gleaning information so that it can be not necessarily for you, but for the rest of humanity. Back to you, David.
All right, I appreciate that. You know, and, you know, Dr. McKinley, we appreciate you. You know, I hope you're not going anywhere anytime soon because we're going to have a little discussion. But before we do that, I want to bring on our other guest tonight, Brother Alon Butler, who's an entrepreneur, and he's an educator as well because he teaches young people. And we started this conversation off earlier that, you know, our young people are going to school. And they're going to be facing all types of challenges. And I just want to get it from this young. He's a very young, as far as I'm concerned, he's young, but he has the old spirit, you know, and he deals with a lot of people. Mr. Butler, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Everybody family.
Okay, you sound like you just got a lot of stuff going on in that background, sir. If that's you, let me see. Okay. Okay, go ahead and speak, sir.
Okay, so thank you all for bringing me on tonight. I've been hearing us. One thing that caught my eye was talking about telling our stories.
Okay. You might want to, wherever you at, Mr. Butler, you might want to hold still because, you know, I see you, you're moving around, you're outside and stuff. Okay. So go ahead, see if you can speak now. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a lot of static, though.
Hold on, let me try to come back in.
All right. But in the meantime, while he's doing, just speak up when you're ready, sir. In the meantime, like I say, Brother Butler, he has the school, and he has a lot of aspiration where he needs support. Us, you know, people to mentor and support some of the programs that's going to help benefit. He's also involved with groups of scouting and a lot of other activities that our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors' children should be involved with. There you go, sir.
Mic check.
Okay, now I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. But yes, as you were saying, several hats I've been blessed to be around and have an opportunity to wear it. Bruce and Scotty, I serve as the vice president of that group, and they are 43 years deep into it's a Black Boy Scout model. Teaching everything from fencing to Black history, canning, arms training, robotics. It's a pretty widespread list. I actually just got off the phone with Brother Murphy about that earlier today because one thing I like doing is making the connections, making the segues. We have the youth already represented from our homeschool program when we run a program called Different Kind of Smart. What was missing were electives in the high school age curriculum. That ability for youth to be able to decide for themselves what they wanted to pursue is not introduced to them until they turn 18. Same years we dump them out and tell them, go be grown. So what I want to do is connect in a way where Roots is guiding you can learn these different curriculums, these different academic or physical lessons, and we will begin to pin them with badges, and we will begin to build scholarship-producing programs just like the merit badges. Getting free rides to HBCUs in place of Ivy League institutions and taking our mentors who have a plethora of knowledge to offer and putting us on a platform where the youth can find us. They have to build this. They have to build their resume. They have to get community service hours to graduate. These are examples where we can create a platform and bring them to us. And so to segue, call Baba Murphy to see to produce each badge, we need manuals, one-on-one guide information on every class and every subject that we introduce. To me, keeping it in-house and showing the power and the strength that the National Black Unity News brings as an opportunity, we can get our pamphlets published in-house. And that branding now takes not just one set of mentors, but now two, and combines it and puts them right at the footstep and the cornerstones of the community for the youth to find. A lot of times they need opportunities, but have to either be dragged to them or don't readily know how to find them. And so I think solutions like this begin to change the narrative. And I'm excited that I've been looking to come in eventually to have them write their own articles, just like we do every 3 months. I'm going to do a brief.
Are you ready to flip on your brain success switch? Hey, it's John Ashraf, New York Times.
You muted yourself. There you go.
I'll be doing a brief editor's lesson, which will represent another badge for them, learning how, as a reading kind of program, but something that can give them a method of communication, a way of expressing themselves, and for us, a product of marketing to do door-to-door engagement. Learning how to entertain and explore and engage with every house is taking a product that has a wealth of knowledge that's retailing at $2. Giving people an opportunity to connect and take home all of our contact information, and giving them an opportunity to start their public speaking and to build their workforce confidence. So I know Brother Murphy probably sick of me. I call this man probably every other week.
Matter of fact, I love it because, you know, you inspire me because to see that our future, and if we people like yourself out there running around, you know, who wants to make things happen and making things happen. And this is what I'll just say it straight up. I'm not calling myself an old man, a wise man. You know, most people who have lived to a certain age, Brother Butler, one of the worst things can happen to them is for them to die with all of that wealth of information that they had. If we were talking about books, do you know that the average man, the average person that's a senior, when they die is written as or African proverb, say a whole library dies with them. And if you don't pour that out on somebody or someone, then, you know, it's a waste. And so when you come along, that's why, you didn't have to ask me. I'll throw it on you, you know. But that's what we do, not just a David Murphy. We do this because, like I say, the whole team of us, you know, we work with people and let people know, you know, speaking of the team, you know, this is a big world and it takes a village. Especially when they come to our babies and stuff, you know. So what do you need from the village to help you make this even more successful?
Okay, that is a great question. Actually, right now, if anybody is looking to help, we're asking people to put in pre-orders of what we call Nubian royalty cookies. This already is a blend of everything I brought up on the call. We have a partnership between Roots of Scouting and Avenue Bakery that is allowing us to recreate Afrocentric cookies. So selling Little Africas and Queen Black things, djembe drums, Black Fist, et cetera, to create a certain level of symbolism and pride in our own cultural statements. That is a program that we have launched. We have vegan and non-vegan bakers all the way down to ice cream sandwiches. We can take our product and raise the funds for a nonprofit. And how we elevated that beyond just the symbols, we have a profit split agreement with the bakers that allows us to resell their product at our own price. That will allow us to pay the nonprofits for their volume of sales or referrals or leads. Anybody that's lacking a fundraising method or a product to promote and brand themselves, they can collab with the Nubian Royalty Cookie Program and never have to touch the product. They take the order, we bake it, we handle the shipping and the handling. And that last phase kicked in because we were successfully able to form a partnership with UPS. UPS came and eliminated public fees, admin costs, and fuel costs, which saves a ton of money, you know, the cost of gas in this local economy. And so being able to do that now, as I say in the promo, for from bakery to breakfast table, we're able to take an order and ship it to the consumer's clients. So what I'm asking right now, we're going to model it. We have our own back-to-school night, what we call Fall's Return, on September 12th, which is a Monday, from 12 to 6 p.m. That is being sponsored. We have a Black-owned game truck coming out. We have PCs for People giving out free laptops. We will be highlighting the program there so that those who can't make it in person, if they'd like to support, I'm asking them to take our order form, which I can email to Bobby Murphy, and to put in any orders that they like. The proceeds go straight to the program. You can choose what flavor you like. We'll ship it out. You can choose what shape you like. We'll ship it out directly to your house or whatever address that you have forwarded. And to make it easier for the consumers, we have this featured on our app, and we have it in the manual print version, as I said, through order form. So whether you're tech savvy or not, you'll still be able to get your orders, and we'll be able to get it in to you in a timely fashion. So right now, I think trying to get that program off of its feet, I want to do a local run and, yes, generate a certain level of seed money, but through a product that you all can get something back and through a process that's teaching our youngsters something that will be sustainable for them. And then from that, we have PDF information. I'm going to make of course, I could drop the info in the chat, but I'm going to make a schedule of promotion, and through our PDFs, we're going to reach out to a couple thousand nonprofits and see who needs to use this program as a fundraiser of their own. This now becomes a national program. And Bob, the one thing I actually didn't get a chance to call you about that I'm interested in, every 2 to 3 months, probably 3 months to be consistent, I would love to have a different postcard sent in with an order of cookies. So what that would mean is that we're able to pull and highlight success stories from the National Black Media News or from our pool of youth and say, hey, here's who we're supporting. We're supporting this youngster. We're supporting this senior citizen. Here's what they've been doing. Here's what they're up to. And ship these products out. So I'm definitely asking you guys to help with that. Putting the orders in with the National Black Unity News would be a great start to aid in everything that we have in motion.
Do me a favor and put your contact information into the chat so that other people can get a hold of you, because I'm quite sure a lot of people will, you know, want to support you. And because when they support you, they're supporting us. They're supporting our children. And it would be so nice. This could be a nationwide program one day, you know. And but you know, Brother Butler, every journey begins with the first step, man. And I appreciate that. Now that we have, you know, Brother McKenzie on here and Brother Butler on here, anybody have any questions or anything they would like to ask him or anything like that? This is the time for you, so just unmute yourself and chime right on in.
Yeah, hey, David, I'm so glad that I'm on tonight to listen to both Dr. McKenzie and the young man Butler. Where are you located, Mr. Butler?
I am in Baltimore, Maryland. Our school is on the intersections of McCullough and Lanvell Street, which is right in front of Booker T. Middle School.
Okay, I got you. I'm over here. I live over here in Reservoir Hill. I love the hook up with you. You've got some very good points here. And just as, you know, I think of the fraternities and sororities and how we're doing fundraisers for that, what they call that thing, popcorn. But you are Black-centered, and I'm sure we can try to work out something. I'd love to get with you.
Okay. Hey, look, my info is in the chat. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, and Mr. Ron Miles, he's the gentleman that actually – doing the booklet for the Chick Webb Center in Uniting that East Baltimore, that corridor up and down there. So this brother is making some serious moves and stuff like that. And that's why I say how we connect the dots, because, you know, we can support each other, because your children need to know what they do too, you know. And so it's powerful stuff.
Hey, look,
it's really, really important. And although David talked about Chick Webb, what I'm actually doing is within the Old Town area, you know, that's being renovated now with about 1,300 new homes over there. And what I'm doing is I'm highlighting the assets of that particular community. And Chick Webb Rec Center is only one of those. Mm-hmm. And David is helping me out because I've highlighted the other Black cultural pieces that's right there in that neighborhood that people do not know about. And we'll be celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Chick Webb Center. Many people here do not know that that's the only center in America that was actually built by nationally known black people that included Joe Louis, Ella Fitzgerald, Jackie Maum, maybe Duke Ellington. So this is what I'm doing right now of highlighting that just one of the assets that's in the Old Town community. So, but I want to connect both East and West because, again, when the planners went in and tore down Cab Calloway House because they don't educate the community of our assets before we invite them to do demolition. So I'm really excited. And because I haven't linked with any young people, I'm old. But this is going to be a huge opportunity. Thank you.
Listen, likewise. Let me know. I've been training them up so that any need that you have for them, they're learning how to produce. I'll be there to guide them, and we can start getting the youngsters right in the palm of your hand. I love that.
Yeah, my office is right there at the Great Blacks and Wax. So I've linked with them also. So, you know. And I see young people coming in from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Arizona. But you know, I don't see our folk coming through there. Right there on North Avenue.
Hey, well, look, listen, let's change that because I got maybe 20, 30 families. Our programs to this degree are mandatory participation unless you got a sick day or you happen to be on vacation that week. You in our school, you going.
Okay. So all right. put your number in the give me your number now, please. Your phone number.
410-622-5161.
Okay, gotcha. You'll be hearing from me.
Okay. Bye. Now, you know, we're getting short on time, you know, but, you know, we stay on as much as long as we can. But like I said, due to respect for your time, you know, we don't want to hold you long. We have some wonderful folks on. You got to try to get to everybody. That's not even going to be possible tonight. You know, there's so many wonderful people, so many great ideas. I just want to give me a quick roll call. We have on here, of course, Milan, Brother Dr. Ron Miles, Brother Cliff is on here, Dr. Charles Pender, Cheryl Ricks, Daniel White, Walter Murphy, Dr. McKenzie, Hazel Hunter, Mr. Jerry, Kathleen Murphy, Danielle is on here for tonight, Mr. Neil Spencer, Dr. Ali, Rico Crowley, and Vernon, and a couple of more people that had telephone numbers. But, you know, like I say, the village, and that's what we are. And like I say, the people behind this village, man, like I said, we are a powerful force. And, you know, speaking of power, we have so much, just on this one phone call, but, you know, the problem is with us, you know, the connecting of the dots. Just like we had these youth services, now is about to unite with historical facts in East Baltimore area. And then, you know, we got historical facts all over this city that our children are not even aware of. But yet they learn about Ponce de Leon and stuff like that in school, you know. And that stuff, that, you know, and we got stuff in their own backyard. They had no clue. Most of us don't even have a clue. Trouble was taken from us, was not given to us. And that's why I keep saying it's so important to tell our narrative and connect the dots. And I know this brother got an event coming, so I really want to get him just to share a few words. Brother Cliff, can you tell him what's coming up real soon so everybody can get involved?
Okay. First of all, thanks for having me on. And thanks for holding these podcasts on a regular basis, as you always do. And, of course, thanks for all the wonderful work that you and all the editors here do at the National Black Community News. As far as what's going on, at least in this coming week, of course, we're coming to the end of Black August. So as a result, there are a couple of things. First of all, Wednesday is going to be the next Cooperative Coalition Zoom call. So we're inviting everyone who's interested in getting involved or staying involved with this effort to call in. I've sent an email out. I think Baba Murphy, you might have the email already. But if anybody needs a direct link, then feel free to email me, and I can even put my email address in the chat if necessary. So at any rate, what we're going to do is we're going to be just talking about a few things, not an awful lot of heavy stuff. Number one, what's going on this coming weekend. Of course, last weekend we had the Garvey Day event that Baba Charlie Duggar did on Saturday, and on Saturday and Sunday, There was the Vegan Soul Fest, I think Brother Haki Ami went to out in Covington, the Covington Port area. And so those two things happened last week. This coming weekend is going to be the Pan-African Liberation Movement's, or PLM's, Grace First Rally. It'll be the third year, I think, they've had this. And Bob Imhotep Fatu of PLM is the person who's organizing all of this. And he actually invited me to get an informational table and set it up at the rally itself, which is going to be at Lafayette Square Park. The rally actually begins at 1 o'clock at, and I keep forgetting the intersection, but it's the Garnett Park, if you're familiar with it, Henry Highland Garnett Park. And it's apparently not too far away. It'll start at 1 o'clock, and then at 1:30, they will begin to march, and then they will march from there to Lafayette Square Park. And then when they get to Lafayette Square Park, they'll have the rally, and people will be there. I assume there'll be a number of people there with informational tables. I've been asked to put up a table to, as he originally put up the invitation, to talk about my organization, Central Region Diaspora Caucus. But since SRDC is also involved in creating coalitions, I'm also going to make it an informational table for the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, which is what the Wednesday Zoom call will be for. And so I'm inviting people who are linked with or want to be linked with the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, bringing in all these different types of organizations that try to come up with some kind of an overarching cooperative grand plan for organizing this in our people.
Brother Cliff, I hate to interrupt you, though, but because, you know, see, that you look and say, I like to connect that. There's a gentleman on here right now, Mr. Spencer, from out of Texas. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to get the black businesses in that area to, you know, to formulate. And I would love for you to exchange information with this brother because, you know, you can. I know, you know what I think, but I know you can be a great assistance to him when he's trying to organize in that area. And so I just want, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you like that. But see,
oh, no problem. Getting, I'd love to
get,
talk to him.
When you get my age, it's a thought country, you better get it out fast. It's going to be gone. But in any case, Mr. Spencer, this is Mr. Brother Cliff, and I will make sure that y'all get each other telephone numbers. So, you know, I just, you know, before you even meet each other, I just want to, you know, formally introduce you to so that you have understand why the call is being made. And going back, finish up, Brother Cliff.
Okay, great, great. Yeah, and because, first of all, SRDC, my organization, doesn't even have a group in Texas. We tried to get one in Houston back in 2007, but somebody kind of got into everything like a cockroach in the cupboard and screwed it all up. So that scuttled that attempt for us to actually build an organization in Texas. So anyone who's in those states where we are not established, of course, would love to talk to them about that. But basically the whole idea, again, is just bring different organizations in, business, spiritual, revolutionary, legal, educational, grassroots, arts and culture, all of those different types of organizations together. That's what this logo pretty much symbolizes. And so the idea is to bring those organizations together in some kind of a cooperative way so they can find a way that everyone, while going about their normal activities, can do so in a way that what they do strengthens each other instead of competing with each other or ignoring each other, which we do far too often. So that's one of the things we're trying to build. Right now, we're still kind of in the building a theoretical stage because of the fact that some of the concrete things we want to do have taken a little while. We're trying to get a group of organizations that have educational-oriented programs together in some kind of a meeting so that they can work out a cooperative community education project. And, of course, Brother Malon is doing that with different kinds of smart roots of scouting. Bob Imhotep does that with Watoto Development Center, Urban Youth Initiative Project, and Kimoya Africana Shule. And there are other efforts around those general strategical aims that are going on across the city and across the state. We'd like to see if there's some way to at least get them all around one table to kind of compare what it is they do and find out how they might be able to work on a lot of these things together so that we can get a nice even and comprehensive distribution of knowledge across the city. So you don't have pockets in one place where you've got things going on and other pockets where people can't access them. So that's one of the things that I'm hoping we'll be able to make some progress on. We haven't made as much progress as I'd like, but I've contacted a number of people who are into that, into those projects to see when we can get them together. That's one thing. The second thing, of course, is the Race First rally on Saturday. And then the third thing will be what my organization is going to be doing in September. We're going to be in Panama for our 14th annual international summit. And that's something that I can talk about at a later date, but that's part of the international organizing part that I also want to bring into this whole cooperative coalition thing. So so that's basically all I wanted to say about that, just to kind of let people know about that. And if anybody wants the link to Wednesday Zoom, then feel free to contact me, and I'll put my email and phone information in the chat. And Baba David, you're muted.
You know, because like I said, I was going to suggest that, you know, you put it in there, so I'm glad you're going to do that. And because of the time sake, there's a lot of stuff that's it's forthcoming. For one thing, a couple of our editors got the Vernon is on here, and I don't see my other brother, our financials officer on here, but Wayne Randall. You know, we decided that, since we had the capabilities of doing podcasting, but we have also had the capabilities of editing, and we're going to start doing some documentaries. And you hear me, Brother Miles? You know, some documentaries. And we got several people I remember, but the first documentary, you know, we're going to do one for Dr. YT's with B. Gaddy. But the one thing that we what I'm going to announce to you tonight, we're going to do a documentary on the National Black Unity News, the editors in it. And that's going to be coming for this year's out. They're going to be one of our first projects. It's doing one on us.
All right. It's going to be early, though. All right.
So,
around 10 o'clock, meet me up here at
10. All right. Wow. All right. I can't find that name. Just mute. Okay. But any case, you know, so that's what we're going to do. Somebody need to mute yourself.
Yeah. Right.
See. Okay, I think it's gone. But any case, like I said, we're going to be doing a documentary about the National Black Unity News and the people behind the scenes. And so, you know, we look forward to that. And also, I just want to remind everybody, tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. sharp, we have our National Black Unity News call. And for those of you who are just, I think Jerry on here, I think Mr. Spence, you know, is on here, you know, and they show, you know, they joining us in the National Black, they, our new editors. And this is where you find out more information about who we are, what we do, and why we do the things that we're doing. And a lot of things is going to be upgraded. And a lot of things going to be changing for the better. And so I strongly suggest that you be on this call tomorrow night, because, like I say, things going to be, you know, we're closing out the year. We're coming up with our last issue of the year. But in January, you know, starting the year off, is that I'm really beginning to see this thing that, you know, for those of you who are still with us, I strongly suggest, and, you know, this is your life, you know, your journey. But, you know, like I say, some people came just for the season. Some people have been here for the long haul. But, you know, we weathered many storms, and we still stand. As a matter of fact, we're standing even stronger, fight of the storm. And, to be straight up about it, we're expanding. We're going to be all over the world, and it's happening. People are calling in. People are checking us out, and unfortunately, we're not going to be running around here with a 150-page newspaper. You know, that's just too much. And so we already decided that we're cutting this thing off at 72 pages. And that's usually those were old school. When they back in the day, we said the real thick Sunday papers, that's about what they were. You know, the real big old thick paper had all them sections in it. And that's going to be our cutoff. We may end up in the near future where we can break it down to states or something like that. But at our current state, we're dealing with one publication. And we're not going to exceed that number, because if you're not involved, you may not be able to get back in again. If you decide, say, I'm going to take a little hiatus, or I'm just, you know, sit out a month or two, it may not happen for you. And it's not that, you know, like I say, this is serious. This is, like I say, it's not a David Murphy thing. We're on a mission. This is mission driven. And I got the marching order. I'm just saying, you know, it's time for us to move forward. And for each and every one of you, just have to remember, this is nothing but a tool to assist you in what you were doing. But this tool is a, such a powerful tool that it is reaching a massive amount of people. It is touching people's hearts. It is, you know, because it's more to us, just the physical. For everybody who knows about us, who's been involved with us, know it's the network. It's the family atmosphere that we have behind the scenes, the network that takes place. We have so many different things that's taking place that most of you have no clue of what's going on. If I didn't tell you about what me and Mr. Miles was doing, if I wouldn't have told you what me and Butler was doing, if they wouldn't have told you what they're doing with each other and everything like that, you'd be so Dr. Pendant, Trudy doing things. I mean, people doing so many great and wonderful things behind the scenes. And that's the purpose of it. It's networking. And things, like I say, we're going to expand. And all I'm going to suggest to you, and like I was saying earlier, before most of y'all came on the call, you know, a lot of our family members are going through some, that, you know, some people having health issues. And unfortunately, I want you to pray for one of our people because, again, I know the prior prayer. But the guy who's on this issue of the national, and just myself, the guy who owned the Universal Soul Circle, and another gentleman by the name of Charles Ballou, he's the guy who's a singer from out of Baltimore, and we grew up, all grew up on the same block. And unfortunately, he's in the hospital right now with, they say, terminal illness. And they say he has a short period of time to live. But, you know, that's what man say. You know, but, you know, God controls that time. And, you know, and I know personally of people, yours truly, who has been counted up many times. You know, and so, you know, so that, you know, that, you know, they don't stand with me because I'm a living proof. That, you know, when man say this, you know, that just don't work, you know. But any case.
Amen.
But any case, you know, I just want y'all to lift the brother up in prayer. He's been strong. I talked to him Sunday. He, you know, he's just one of them soldiers, man. You know, I did my time, you know, that kind of attitude where, you know, I'm, you know, just that. But, you know, but again, just keep him in prayer. But that's, see, that's what I'm just saying. You know, tomorrow's not promised to none of us. But the work, like Dr. McKenzie was saying earlier, when we document ourselves, and see, this is what you're doing. What you're doing with the National Black Unity News, you're leaving a legacy. You're letting people know that you've been here. This stuff is being documented. Rubber Mile, that booklet you're putting together. See, that's going to be here way after you're gone. See, this stuff like this goes on and on for free. Now, 100 years from now, them children can learn about what happened in this, in our communities. And Dr. McKenzie, he was saying all of those things that you put in books. You know, we need to share and tell our stories. We need to connect the dots. We need to do all of them things. And it's it is happening now. Not only, but there's organizations all over this country are coming together. Really coming together and putting aside our differences. And you can't say we can't come together, because I'm going to just say this about the National Black Unity News. First of all, there's a lot of myths and misnomers going around, propaganda saying black people can't come together, can't do this and can't do that, and won't do this and won't do that. But if you ask any other organization, I can say minority, I'm talking about Asians, Hispanic, anybody else, all of them, they would tell you that black people got more together than any of them groups. All of them benefits from us. The Asian community told me that personally. You know, everybody been, you know, and they don't even get along. Asians don't get along with Japanese. I mean, the Chinese don't get along with them. They don't get along with each other. But the only black people, not only, you know, do we tolerate, we deal with, you know, but that's what they tell us about us. That's just one of them tools that keep us separated. But look what we're doing right here as living proof. This is only about, let's see, about 20-something people on here tonight. And I think 95% of y'all is already involved with the National Black Unity one way or the other. And not only are you involved, that means that we're working together. We're putting together a product for the National Black Unity Music. And we've been doing it for 5 years. So that, you know, and not only that, guess what else? We are financing our own publication. We don't have no bunch of ads in there from outside sources. This is us doing us. So, you know, so you can't tell me that black people don't do this and black people, because we live in proof of doing it. And not only that, they're doing it all over the place now. Like I say, the dots are finally coming together, just a little shorty but slowly. But it still takes a lot of work. We still have to, you know, be the example. We still have to share our narratives. Brother Cliff got a great program that needs to be shared. You know, not only, like, that's why I suggested to the gentleman in Texas that he take a good look at that, you know. But again, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank each and every one. Like I said, normally I try to get as many of you in as I possibly can. But at the same time, Dr. McKenzie, Rebel Butler, Ron Miles, Walter Murphy, and a few of y'all did get a chance to say something. But just so you know, and you know how we roll with the National Black, we try to get as many as possible in here. But we are growing, and yes, we have pains, just like growing pains, just like everybody else. But, you know, this thing is so strong, even beyond me, because like I said, if I really told you, some of the things, some of y'all think is spooky. Some of you would say this is crazy and this, that. But, you know, I've been around 70-something years, I never met a group of people like you in my entire life that worked together in one project. Never, ever. And I've been a lot in a lot of groups. I never seen what people put not only come together, put up their own finances. I never seen the publication that come from out of nowhere in a short period of time become the number one black newspaper in the entire nation in its circulation just by the freaks version of it. And we haven't even started yet. Nobody still don't even know who we are. I mean, seriously, even we based in Baltimore, most people in Baltimore, you know, there's a lot of people know, you know, some, you know, a lot of conscious people. The majority of people don't even know who we are, that we exist. So we haven't even scratched the surface yet. There's a lot of this thing is so vast and so big in media. It's a powerful, like I keep saying, it's a powerful, powerful tool. And because, like I use this as an example, when people get a copy of the National Black Indies, all they have to do, and this is one of the main thing I get, they just hold the front page up. And the first thing they say to me is, I've never seen a publication with that many, a newspaper, anything like that, with that many black people on the front page in any kind of publication. And then when they open up, 30, 40 more of them in there. And so, you know, it's a powerful testament, a powerful testament. And not only is there that many people in there, but these are people who have great expertise, great libraries of their own individual lifestyle. I mean, great stuff. I mean, if you knew, like I said, did you hear Dr. McKenzie say what he wrote about? Did you see that, I mean, not only poetry, men, businesses, and stuff like that? Did you hear this young man, Mr. Butler, just come on here and say, not only does he have a school, but he tried to history, he tried to collect the communities together. He wants to send people off to colleges. Man, come on, you know, these are just a few of us. Brother Cliff, man, been sitting out here, man, and has the plan that they can bring us all together. So all I'm saying is this, we have the goods, and as far as where I sit at, we don't have any excuses. Only thing we have to do is just move forward, and each one of us, if each one of us do what we can do with this publication, you share it to your own network. Just share your page. You got to share all of them. You want to do that anyway. You share, let you cut it out. But share what you do. And you share all of us and vice versa. So I want to say thank each and every one of you for being on the call this evening, because you could have been to so many other places. But this is serious business, and it's going to take serious people. God is in control of this thing, and if you want to be a part of this, the doors are open. If you can get involved one way or the other, even by subscription or sharing the information, by networking, buying the products, goods, and services from our editors. And again, like Dr. McKenzie said, read this public. Read what people are writing about. We got, like I said, we got 7-8 hours. If you just read... But who's on here right now? Cheryl Rick's voice. Dr. Ali books, Dr. McKenzie books. And we got so many other authors who have written books on here. Just read those, and I guarantee your mind would expand so great, and you'll be truly amazed. But guess what? If you're part of this team, and I'm going to leave it this and close. I'm going to say good night to each and everybody. You know, like I say, many are called, but few are chosen. Even the chosen one, only a few will go. And you came and you went, and you got involved. You played your part. But if you don't think your journey is over with now, continue on. The battle just beginning. I mean, seriously, it's just beginning. And we got a fight ahead of us, you know, because we try to liberate the minds of our people who have been bombarded with lies, myths, been taken advantage of. And that narrative is going to change now. And that's through the grace of God and through you. Thank you. And I'm going to say good night to each and every one of you. Take care. See you tomorrow night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Take care.
Goodbye. All right. We'll close y'all out with this. Theme song. Oh, it's my time. And substitute the word hour for you where you hear my and the song. Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes our broadcast for tonight. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, for the National Black Unity News Podcast. This is Atawa Jahi, signing off for the National Black Unity News. Good night.